Ladies and gentlemen, boys and ghouls, it's time for Below Grade Level. It's time for the fright of your life.
Hello and welcome to Below Grade Level, the show where we take the books that we read as kids and read them as adults and ruin them. I said that okay that time. I'm one of your hosts,
okay.
Jonathan Eaton, and with me as always is Becca Eaton.
Hi.
And Chris Zaleski.
Hello.
We were at a party last night, and I feel like our voices are so fucked up. We just shout.
Yeah, it's going to be a very liberal use of the cough button for me this episode.
We're doing this all a little differently. We are recording this at 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning after we went to a fucking Christmas party. And our special guest returning champion, John Walker, is on today's episode. And yet, this is the second to last episode for this book.
I've been demoted from closer to fit him in wherever-er.
You haven't been demoted. You've simply just been reshuffled for this book, and we'll go back to our regularly scheduled closing practices next time.
I know how star power works. but I also feel like now the closer spell has been broken, though. So I don't know. Maybe you'll have to talk to my booking agent before you get me for another one of these.
Shit. Yeah, the next time we ask you, you're going to be like, nah.
Well, it's like if I can miss the ending, if I can miss the ending of one of these books, it means I don't even have to understand that. So tonight, I don't have to understand what happens before or after anything I'm reading.
You don't
which
listen
gives,
to the ending.
Which gives me a certain freedom. And so now it's like, well, how untethered am I? Well, you know, we'll see. We'll see if this book scares me away forever.
No.
That can't happen. We gave John a rundown of this book so far before we started recording, and it is truly like this book is beyond indecipherable at this point. As we were explaining it to you, I was like, man, this is a huge bummer.
What?
Like to make you try and understand this and then not even get closure.
Well,
but it's fun to do funny voices for a couple of hours or whatever, you know. Yeah. So
It is so hard to explain what's happening in this book, but that is good at least because it means a lot of fun, crazy shit has happened.
Yeah. Well, why don't you tell us, Becca, what happened just last time on Scavenger
Hunt? I will try. So last time we go back to the priest confession scene. I wrote the confession boy because we still don't really know who it is. He says the scavenger hunt was all a lie. Also, the priest was just very over it.
Yeah.
The priest was like, what, scavenger hunt? What are you talking about? Go to the police.
Did you say you murdered someone?
Yeah.
Are you telling me a story?
The boy says they went in a tunnel and someone was sacrificed and is asking about someone being able to come back from the dead. Oh. Paula finds the watch that Carl left behind as a clue, which that watch didn't make a lot of sense. It didn't really matter.
Carl took his watch off and was just like, they'll get it. I'm like, no, it's just your watch.
Yeah, they already knew that you're ahead of them in the scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. Tracy told her team about the incest that she witnessed. And everyone else was just being pretty chill about it. Like, it was not the proper reaction. They were like, so what? They kiss.
They're like, maybe you don't have the full story.
Yeah. And Tracy starts to make a connection between the clothes that they're finding, Mr. Partridge and Joe. So
right.
Mr. Partridge is the teacher that, or principal, I don't remember, that sponsors the scavenger hunt. But he was, like, wearing hiking clothes that day?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
It was like khaki hiking clothes. It's all,
So they're starting to make connections, but they still don't know what's going on. And then we had a really long section of reading that newspaper story that was talking about Dan and Claire, who funded a gold expedition forever ago, which are obviously Davy and Ceci. Let's see. Tracy doesn't think Tom was around last year, and everyone is struggling to have memories of Tom. Tracy breaks into that house, the purple house, where the purple lizard was outside, and she finds... Oh, it was, like, a bunch of horrible newspaper clippings about, like, murders and shit.
Okay.
And a life-size poster of Mr. Partridge. So she thinks it's his house because there's a life-size poster of him there.
But like,
but that's not an object you run across in most people's houses.
Yeah. Unless you're like a really rich person, you have a giant portrait of yourself. But like, yeah. I wouldn't describe that as a poster.
Yeah.
And this is like a shack in the desert.
There's some... I can't really remember what happened here, but there was like some slime in the house and she follows the slime and the slime is acid. But then I think she just gets out of there.
Yeah, there's like a slime trail. I think it's from the lizard that Davy stepped on.
Yeah.
Of course.
I think it's Mr. Partridge.
Yes.
Of course.
That's what happens when you step on lizards. They leave acid slime.
Yeah.
Then we go back to the other scavenger hunt team. Carl is also not being able to remember details about Tom. Tom tells him he didn't get hurt at football, but he won't tell him anything, really. They make Carl break through a wall to get into the mine. Carl thinks that they're vampires. Or at least, I don't know, I guess he must have said something about it.
Yeah.
And they, I wrote down, they all kind of have superpowers, kind of, but not really. Like, Davy has super speed.
Yeah.
Tom is super strong, and Ceci is just always hungry.
She's been eating
this entire
day.
That's really the only weird thing about her, is that she eats so much food.
She had, like, 5 ice cream cones earlier.
Yeah.
And she's, like, ravenous.
All the same flavor?
Well, one was her brother.
Ew.
Maybe it's, like, Slither, where they had to, like, feed that lady, and then she blew up into, like, a bunch of alien babies. Maybe they're...
I don't know.
I mean,
she's
I know
like
Slither, but I don't know that many things that are like Slither in that way.
Maybe this is one of them.
Maybe so.
So
leave it up to Pike.
Right.
They're in these tunnels that look like cooled lava, and there's a bunch of crystals around, and Ceci brought a dog down there that she found outside.
And that's where we
are. That's where we left off.
Yeah.
Basically, Narrative Leaps, the book.
Oh, and it sounds like... Wait, did Rick and Paula meet back up with them? I don't know.
With who? Carl?
Oh, wait, sorry. This went back.
Oh.
This is way back in the book. I was just like, wait, why is Rick and Davy talking to each other? And that was the wrong chapter.
We're
on chapter 10.
I'm sorry, Becca, we're on what?
Chapter 10.
Thank you.
And you're an idiot.
Oh, so rude. If only I knew which page chapter 10 was on.
You know, the next chapter is bankruptcy, so everybody get ready for that.
Boy. Oh, I am. I know Chris has got that one locked and loaded. Oh, God.
Hell yeah.
Did I walk into a sore subject?
He says.
Oh, no, it's just what he says every single time.
Oh, okay.
I usually roll my eyes, obviously.
John, you're usually not here for chapter 11 because we bring you in at the close. Not to keep, you know, bringing that up.
This is a very nice coffee mug you have there.
Oh, shit, I went too far.
Oh, no.
Okay, chapter 10, that's where we are?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 10, was formerly known as Twitter.
What's the last thing we read was... They're making Carl
minute,
dig? Say what?
I said that took me a minute to get Chris's joke.
Oh, I didn't hear what he said.
You'll just have to listen to the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. They're making him dig or tunnel through walls or shit. I don't really know what's happening.
Well, let's find out. Chapter 10. Oh, we're back with the other group now. They almost missed the sign. Tracy was 50 yards past it before Rick called it to her attention. She didn't bother to turn around. Shifting into reverse, she raced the Camaro backwards, the dust sweeping over her windshield. I forgot that she's got, like, a sick Camaro that they're just ruining by driving it out into the desert. Like, her car's gonna be fucked up. She parked beside the post and jumped out, leaving the engine running. The cardboard box was empty. She inspected the wrong turn sign and the... You should know by now clue. Oh, was there a clue that said you should know by now, I guess?
Oh, yeah.
The item listed on the type page said, one lost shirt. The tracks of a truck led to the left off the road. She got back in her car. what did it say? Rick asked. Rick is, we're doing like a real snooty comic book voice for him because he's so smart, John.
Okay.
Tracy pointed to the slopes of the deserted hills to their north, now clearly visible beneath the rays of the rising moon. I've never thought of moon as having rays. It's beams. More like beams. Yeah. Yeah.
Get it right, Pike.
Come on, Pike.
Moon's got beams, Pike. That's moon's what I would beams. Say to him if I ever met him.
Moon's got beams.
Right after you punch him. Just you punch him right in the
face.
Moon's got beams,
Moon's got beams, Pike. You can take that back to your publishing house.
Christopher Pike assaulted today.
And then throw like a dead pike. A pike's a fish, right? Could throw like a dead pike at him, you know, as like a symbolism kind of thing. Like a
mafia. On a pike.
Mafia what? Symbolism.
On a pike.
On a pike. A pike on a pike?
Pike on a pike. Into a pike.
Into a pike? Oh my God. Two pikes on a pike.
Oh God, I want to die.
It said go that way.
So
it said go that way. With the purple house far behind them, I'm so glad we got to talk about the purple house again.
Jesus.
Tracy had finally shown Rick and Paula the articles she had taken from the table. Paula didn't think the clippings meant Mr. Partridge had committed the acts, but Rick's attitude had surprised Tracy. He immediately began to take the matter more seriously, probably because they were now discussing specific crimes and not vague diabolical plots like incest.
That's a vague thing, right?
Yeah.
Not a specific thing at all.
I mean, how do you define it?
Incest?
I know. I'm
Is there really a definition?
That's probably what Christopher Pike would say.
Yeah. He wanted to go straight to the police, which would have been fine with Tracy if it hadn't meant an hour of backtracking. Her heart warned her there wasn't much time. But, already, Carl... her heart's like, hi!
Yeah, her heart's like...
Get going! Already, Carl and the others must have reached the last place on the list. Tracy kept silent about what she had seen and heard inside the house. Which, that didn't help her earlier when she kept silent about the incest.
Seriously,
so
tell
I don't know
them.
Why she's not just telling them what's
Tracy,
happening.
Tracy, if you see something, say something.
But she had begun to doubt if she was doing her friends a favor. She feared they would see worse before the night was over. The path proved far rougher than the dirt road. She was ruining her car,
yep.
Like you said, called but she it. Didn't care. Carl's truck had left clear tracks in the baked earth. At least they knew they were on the right trail. Plus, Paula felt they were approaching the area where Joe had died. Tracy hadn't said more about Joe, and Paula wasn't asking. It wasn't something they could talk about and pretend the universe hadn't suddenly adopted a new set of natural laws.
What?
I don't know. The path came to an end at the edge of a narrow ravine. Farther east, it appeared wider and deeper. Carl's truck sat there, silent and empty. Tracy got out and studied the vehicle. The engine was still cooling. They were not far behind. She had no illusions about where the others had gone. It didn't take a sharp eye to spot the opening in the side of the hill where the gully ended. I hope that's not the place we read about, Paula said from her place in the back seat behind Rick. Tracy leaned across Rick and pulled the flashlight out of the glove compartment. Rick had adjusted the coiled contact wire inside, and it was working better. God, that was such a boring page.
Oh, man, you got a Becca page.
Ugh, it's been a while.
Yeah.
I'm going to check it out, Tracy said. You two wait here. You're kidding, Rick said. I'm serious, Tracy said. In fact, Paula, take my car and get out of here. Carl can give me a free ride home. I just remember Paula's voice.
Oh, yeah.
You can't go in there alone, Paula said.
Why?
And you can't leave Rick out here alone, Tracy said. Don't
Was
argue
Was there a
with
chapter
me.
About her smoking or something like
and
that?
And she works in a rubber factory.
Oh, right, yeah. We think that her voice is gone because of the rubber fumes and the cigarettes.
And you can't leave Rick out here alone, Tracy said. Don't argue with me, she stepped back. I'm going. Paula got out of the car in a hurry, grabbing Tracy before she could take a half a dozen steps toward the mine entrance. You know what that dude said about this place? But Carl's in there, Tracy said. Fine. Paula said. Let's just wait here until Carl comes out of there. Tracy shook her off. I can't wait. He might not come out. Ladies, Rick said, there's only one thing to do. Let me go. No, Paula said, shaking her head. Absolutely not. You can't get your chair in there, Tracy said. Then why did Davy invite me here? Rick said. You said it yourself, Tracy. He directed the story about Volta at me. There must be room for me. Give me the flashlight. I'll see about Carl.
Put my chair on the tracks.
Tracy came and knelt.
The mine tracks.
Tracy came and knelt by his side. He was clearly exhausted. He usually had a nap in the afternoon and always went to bed early. She took his hand, the frailness of his return grip surprising even her.
Jesus. Jesus.
You're right, she said. Davey did want you here. Maybe more than the rest of us. And you're expendable because you're sick.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, isn't he dying?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they said he had like a year or two to live.
God.
That's grim.
I know. Mm-hmm.
But that's why you must leave here. Davey has never liked you, Rick. He could hurt you. Rick stared her in the eye, his face thin, but his voice clear. I'm beginning to believe you. A genuine scavenger hunt would never have brought us out this far. Valta must exist. The diary we read could be accurate. That's scary. It scares me as much as it scares you, but it's exciting, too. I don't have a lot of excitement in my life. I read books.
Read more exciting books, Rick.
That was just me editorializing. That wasn't the character. I go to the library, I go to the doctors, and I wait for something to change for me. Rick took a breath and glanced at the dark opening. I have to go in there. Tracy lowered her head. They were fools, she thought, to take the bait. But maybe it was meant to be this way. They would all go inside. But she already knew they would not all be coming out.
Oh, no.
Also, like, Tracy is like fucking Sherlock, who just jumps to these conclusions.
She has been jumping to crazy conclusions. John, you should read this page, too.
You mean the beginning of chapter 11, when we all have bankruptcy problems? That's a fresh joke for this podcast.
That's a really good one, John.
Thank you so much, Becca. I know how much you love that sort of thing.
It was my humor, for sure.
You're like, bring me some word association shit, please.
We've been really lacking it on this podcast.
I know, God forbid. God forbid someone who likes to play with words should come on this show. Should we, you ever think we should read the, like, you know where it's all caps at the beginning of a chapter? Like, should we read that differently? Is that, like, more official?
Like it's being shouted at you?
Yeah. Carl felt sick with guilt when he realized who had arrived. Tracy had found his watch. He could see it on her wrist. He could see her death in the glint in Davy's eyes. Dropping to his knees, knowing it would be a wasted try, Carl grabbed the steel bar and swung it toward Davy's head.
Oh, shit.
Carl didn't even see him duck. Davey simply was no longer there. And then Carl was lying dazed on the black ground. Davey had caught him on the side of his head this time, bringing stars to his eyes and a trickle of blood over his cheek. Rolling onto his side, Carl sat up weakly. He did it every week, telling himself there had to be a way to stop them. While simultaneously... That's a good one.
Yeah.
While simultaneously asking himself why there had to be a way. For all he knew, an atomic bomb might not have slowed them. Tracy led the way, a flashlight in her hand, Paula and Rick not far behind. They were filthy with dust. Ugh. Hauling Rick in his wheelchair through the initial passageway must have been a struggle. Rick's eyes were all over the chamber, filled with awe. Paula had a firm hand on his shoulder, her face grave. 50 feet out, Tracy signaled for her companions to halt.
I'm confused because we went straight from Carl and Davey to Tracy and then without like a break, but I guess we're just like quickly cross-cutting now.
No, Tracy's team is like in the mine chamber.
They're all in the same room now.
Are they almost? They're all in the same room?
Yeah.
It's not super clear.
Thank you.
It's a total Goonies vibe, though. Like, all these kids are coming through a tunnel into a room. Come on.
But that's why Carl hit Davey, because he realized Tracy and them were in there.
Oh, okay. I missed that. Crucial detail. She stepped forward alone.
Well, again, it was someone jumping to conclusions. You could see on Davey's face that he was going to kill Tracy.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Leave him alone, Mr. Senior Class President, she called.
Who said that?
I think Tracy.
Okay.
We have the police, and they're not far behind.
Davey... They sent us children in first. That makes sense.
Yeah.
The it's cops standard are like, you... procedure.
Yes, exactly.
All cops are heroes.
Davey strode casually toward her, his smile cocky and arrogant, his hold on the rifle loose. He carried it for pleasure, Carl knew, rather than any practical reason.
Hmm.
Pleasure. Ugh. He liked playing the boss. Carl glanced at Ceci. She was no longer petting her dog, and that's not a euphemism. The arrival of the others had caught her off guard. Tom stood on the triangular slab not far from the arched doorway, as motionless as a statue. Tracy, Davy said. What a pleasure! Carl, she called. Are you all right? I'm fine. He stood slowly, a burning pain between his ears to match the pain in his abdomen. We don't want any trouble, Tracy told Davy. We'll leave Carl and... We'll leave with Carl. We'll leave with Carl. And that can be the end of it.
Imagine being in that actual situation and having that Freudian slip. How you would probably yeah. spend the whole rest of the time to saying, I swear... It was a Freudian
slip. We weren't like, just no, seeing all the time.
It was not a Freudian slip. It
the
was
whole
it was
we
a
came here.
Like yeah. a Jungian slip.
It took you all day to get there, Davy said. What's the rush? Tracy glared at him. We know about you. Tracy, Carl said, don't worry about me. Get out of here. Did you go to the house? Davy asked, enjoying himself. The purple house? Did you read what I've been up to?
Oh, shit.
What is this? Ceci asked. Davy glanced at his sister. It's of no concern of yours. Your brother's been cutting up people with razor blades, Tracy told her. What do you think of that? I see, Ceci replied, not overly impressed. How did you come to be here? How did you come to be here? Is a thing this alien girl said.
Okay. Your brother planted another set of clues, Tracy said. Ceci knelt down and caressed her pet, losing interest in the subject. None of this is necessary, she muttered. It is necessary, Davy snapped, his anger erupting out of nowhere. But he quickly regained his jovial countenance and turned back to Tracy.
I think they meant countenance. Wait,
continence?
I think they mean countenance.
Is it countenance?
Does it say continence?
It says continence.
His jovial countenance.
His jovial
like...
continence, so he's just happy shitting?
No, he's happily holding in his pee. That's what continence yeah. means. It's like yeah. incontinent is...
I have so peed all day.
He's so happy about it, though.
This is the happiest piss I've taken.
The lizards don't have to pee.
I have the bladder of 10 men.
Yeah.
It just dissolves.
Yes. His jovial. You know what? I consider all of our continences jovial.
I love that.
Every time I'm not pissing myself, I'm so happy.
I love every time we're sitting here doing this continents. And you guys aren't pissing yourselves, I'm happy that that's not happening.
That really made me feel like, wow, I'm a lot more fucked up than I thought. I can't read. This word does not make sense. My brain is... All right,
let's make sure that there's not some alternate. The ability to control movements of the bowels and bladder. So it could be either
okay,
one.
Okay, so it could be shitting.
It could be either numbers. Oh, yeah. Self-restraint, especially with regards to sex. Is that going on here?
Okay.
He does like to kiss his sister, so...
It's well, taking everything
he's
for
currently
me to
not
French
kissing
her right now in front of all of
he's
you.
He's not kissing her or pissing or shitting.
Or shitting.
So he's... in control.
So he is showing extremely good restraint.
Yes.
So by the way, those definitions are the top two results in a Google search in December of 2024. So that means that it has to be the most accurate information in the world, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, good.
No one can change that.
Yeah, no one can change that. That can't be wrong.
Yeah.
You can't take that away from us.
Can't take that away from us. Not us. Maybe some other people, but not us.
Yeah. He nodded at her flashlight. That isn't exactly a high-caliber weapon you're carrying. The police, she began. The police, he interrupted with a snort. There are no police. He looked past Tracy. Hello, Rick. How are you? I'm fine, thanks. Tell me more about this place. Davy chuckled. Master Richard, you're going to learn all about it firsthand. They're definitely sacrificing Rick.
I changed my mind.
It's not the dog.
No, they're going to sacrifice Rick.
He moved a step past Tracy. She shot a hand out to stop him. Don't you dare, she swore. Because then she also said, fuck. Davy slowly lifted her hand off his shoulder. I don't dare, my dear. I just do it.
Oh, Davy, what is happening? What has he become?
Davy, Tom said, they shouldn't be here. What? This is not what we discussed, Tom said. Davy paused, thinking, and then nodded. You're right. We should get back to business. I'm glad you reminded me. He stared at Tom. I'm having a really hard time understanding.
I cannot follow.
Children aliens.
Yeah.
He stared at Tom, catching his eye. There are some materials I left in the truck. I need them to make your transfer with Carl.
Wait,
could
what?
Could you get them for me? Transfer? Carl didn't much like the sound of that word. What materials? Tom asked.
You think that's because he's transphobic? Or do you think it's for some other reason? He just doesn't like the sound of that word.
Well, I think maybe since... I guess it's pretty safe to say that Tom is Joe.
I think so.
Yeah.
And maybe he wants to take over Carl's body since Carl left him for dead.
It's like,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Davy continued to stare at Tom, his eyes unblinking. His voice took on a much softer tone. Carl wasn't sure if he heard it with his ears or inside his head.
They're in the truck, Davy said. You'll see them. Get them for me now.
Yes, that's very
right.
soft.
Tom said, taking a step off the slab, then halting, shaking himself slightly. He's hypnotizing him.
What? Now, Davy repeated.
Where?
Shaking
Tom
himself?
Asked, frowning. The truck, Davy seemed to whisper. Go there. Tom glanced at Ceci. She didn't look up. She seemed to be thinking, too. Tom's eyes went back to Davy, whose gaze never left Tom's face. For several seconds, nothing happened. Then Tom began to walk stiffly toward the tunnel, yet he paused as he passed Paula. Love that alliteration.
The teacher, Mr. Partridge, was hypnotized. So remember that he talked about how he was walking stiffly, like his legs were
and
like
he always
wooden.
Wore sunglasses.
He's not a Frankenstein. He was hypnotized.
And oh, he's wearing sunglasses. Yeah.
Oh, you,
what does that
had,
have to do with it?
We had considered that he might be a Frankenstein.
Yeah, or like.
Oh, we went
Nick
through
Cave.
A lot of theories. We thought vampires. We thought Frankenstein's.
Yeah, those
we
are
thought,
the first you'd go to.
Chris said Atlantis at one point. aliens, lizard people,
subterranean lizard people.
All the classics.
I didn't think that's what you were going to say, though. I thought... I can't remember whose theory it was, if it was someone in the book or us or what.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we think Joe is Tom somehow.
We think Joe is somehow Tom.
Joe is somehow Tom, and that's why Paula feels, like, connected to Tom.
Oh, yeah, she's kind of into him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's because it's her dead boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yet he paused as he passed Paula. Her eyes were wide. She removed her hand from Rick's shoulder and stretched it out hesitantly in his direction before letting it fall weakly at her side.
Who are you?
She asked, and her voice trembled. Tracy shifted her light in their direction, and Carl could see a ripple of confusion spread across Tom's ordinarily blank expression. He was on the verge of speaking when Davy reinforced his order.
Hurry, Tom,
Davy said. Tom left. 2 miles of pure black lay before him, and he didn't even bring a flashlight with him. Carl realized that Tracy must have made the same observation. How? She paled as Davy returned his attention to her. The play of their opposing lights was hard on the eyes. The walls crawled with elongated shadows.
Is Davy the Dudley Do-Right guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want you two to help Carl dig, Davy said to the girls.
Go to hell,
Paula sneered. Davy moved towards her. No, he took a step in her direction, and
what?
Then he was at Paula's side, gripping the big finger on her right hand and pulling her slowly and painfully into the air.
Ew.
Incredibly,
what?
In the blur of motion, he had also managed to slip his flashlight into his belt. Tracy whirled. By the way, that's flashlight, not fleshlight. I don't know if my accent is ever going to be confusing for people. Into his belt. Tracy whirled, obviously shaken by how he had gotten past her.
There are many hells in this universe,
Davy told Paula.
Which should we visit first?
I cannot get past lifting her in the air by her finger.
By her big finger.
Dislocate and... break right off
say,
her body?
Did he not rip her finger off? Because I feel like that's what would have happened.
There wasn't some earlier development about her like saying, I got my fingers reinforced.
Pure steel in there.
It's all foam rubber. It's very flexible. It doesn't
like
tear.
Very boing, boing, boing. Yeah, that could be awesome.
It just stretches.
Yeah. Literally. Hot dog fingers.
Ew.
Paula's mouth dropped open. Then she pressed her lips together and spat in his face. It was a valiant gesture and foolhardy. Davy flicked his wrist. The crack of the snapping bones in her finger was heard by all. Paula screamed. Davy clamped his hand over her mouth with the same hand that was holding the rifle. Are you sorry for what? Yeah, it's hard to picture
that. He just smashed a rifle in her face.
And he broke all her teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not much left of her mouth at this point.
Yeah.
Are you sorry for what you just did? He asked.
Paula nodded vigorously. Davy released her and she crumpled to the ground, grabbing her hand and doubling up. He wiped the spit from his face.
You are going to be even more sorry, he said.
Davy, Rick spoke up, trying to sound casual but clearly shaken by what he had just witnessed. You and I have to talk. Intimidation is not the way to handle this. You obviously have a lot more to you than meets the eye. Davy smiled. Davy smiled.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, Rick said, a worried eye cast toward his sister, who had yet to get up. Carl could see she was in a lot of pain.
You must be connected with the amazing people who built this place. I'd like to hear all about it. We could write a book together on the subject. You'd be famous.
I have been famous in your history, Davy said, throwing Ceci a look. Many books have been written about me. Many stories have been told.
He's Jesus.
Oh, God. Yes, I hope.
Oh, no, he's Sherlock Holmes. No, he's Dracula. No.
He's all of them.
Who else?
No, he's Abbott and Costello, Meet the Wolfman.
How many books have been written about that?
That's great. Oh, that's great, Rick said. So why don't we all sit down and have a nice talk and let things cool down?
Cool down?
Davy asked. He let his head fall back and looked up at the black dome, drinking in the obnoxious fumes as if they were a draft of scented air.
No! I'm having too much fun to cool down!
Obnoxious fumes. These fumes are obnoxious.
Yeah. It's the draft of scented air.
Did he mean noxious?
Well, he meant countenance, and he meant noxious, yes.
Oh, my God.
So you think Pike is like a forbidding guy? Like, when he's working with an editor, he's like, and don't give me any shit. I know my words.
Yeah.
You could be out on your ass.
Obnoxious?
It says obnoxious.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Brave of you to assume there was an editor.
Right. It's him talking to his mirror. You know,
oh, my God. Like, I opened up to 149.
Green
oh,
Goblin wow. style.
No, I'm having too much fun to cool down. No, nope. Wrong voice.
I'm having too much fun to cool down.
He glanced down at Paula, who was trying to crawl on her knees. For a moment, he seemed to contemplate kicking her.
Should I kick her?
And breaking a couple of her ribs for good measure. But then he spoke to Tracy, who stood helpless nearby.
I'll let your friend sit out this little exercise, he said, but you help Carl dig. We have to finish with the scavenger hunt.
Tracy gave in, her tough stance in ruins. The police ruse shattered. Obviously realizing that Davy was a far more powerful adversary than they could have imagined, Davy handed her a hunting knife. He must have taken an extra one from the box beneath the drain cover on the track. For Carl, that seemed a lifetime ago. Us also. The knife was for digging. What?
The knife was for digging, Chris.
Why wasn't there a trowel instead of a knife?
The knife was for digging, Jonathan.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. The knife was for digging. Carl picked up the bar. Davy directed them to the area at the tip of the triangular slab. He made them go down on their knees.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that sentence finished the way it did.
The stance appealed to him. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm not glad.
But it did. Yet he did not sit to watch them work. He went
inconclusive.
He went off to confer with Ceci, who seemed to neither approve nor disapprove of his tactics. What the fuck is Ceci doing? She's just like
has not done much.
Yeah, she's just petting a dog and like disinterested in the tragedy play.
She doesn't seem evil like Davy, but she's also not helpful. She's just kind of there. Like, totally indifferent to everything that's happening.
Yeah.
She was caressing her pet, I believe was the phrasing.
Yeah. She didn't need the entertainment, Carl thought. Okay.
She had her dog to amuse her. Your head is bleeding, Tracy whispered. Carl glanced over his shoulder. Paula was still doubled up in pain. He could sympathize. I'm fine. How did you get here? We followed your tracks, she said. It's a long story. Do you know this is close to the place Joe died? Yes. What does it mean? I don't know. But who are these people? How can Davy move so fast and be so strong? My mom sent me a strange text.
Oh.
My mom just texted me. She texted me, Becca, do you like Chipotle, the place? And I said yes.
Not the concept.
Not Chipotle.
Yeah,
the
not
person.
The specific.
Not the flavor.
Not the specific
not the
pepper, but Chipotle the place. And I said yes, and she just said good. I don't know what that.
Oh,
I hope that means I have Chipotle
I was
in
just
my future.
Say, I hope she's giving you a Chipotle gift card. That would rock. Mm-hmm. I want Chipotle. Oh, I want Chipotle.
All right, Mom. I will text you later. What? Who are these people? How could Davy, move so fast? I don't know, he repeated. Are they human? He glanced at her. She had set the flashlight on the slab to keep her hands free. The focus of the beam caught her below the waist.
Sorry, was that a flashlight or a flashlight?
I don't know, because we are going below her waist right now, sending harsh shadows over her face. Yet there was something in her eyes that seemed to resist the gloom of the chamber, a trace of the sunshine he always used to imagine she carried with her.
What?
He would have given his life to know she was far away and safe. But you won't date her or talk to her. Now you want to save her from a cave.
He just wants to die to know that she's far away and safe. He didn't say anything else.
He's like, that's how much I don't
want
to date
you. I want
you.
Her as far away from me as humanly possible.
I'll die to make sure you're far away. And safe.
Yeah.
And safe. But it's not happening.
Well, or so he told himself.
Okay.
So amazing. No, he said, they can't be human. What are they going to do to us? She was asking him for hope. It was the least he could give her for his cowardly mistake of leaving the watch.
What?
Again, I feel like that was so unimportant that he did that. But all he had to offer her was a lie. They would have killed us already if that was all they wanted, he said.
Yeah. Tracy, you said something about knowing of crimes Davy had committed? I broke into the Purple House. There was a collection of articles inside on ghastly murders. I'm sure he killed all those poor people. Then why did you follow us here? He asked. To rescue you. What? She tried to force a smile, but didn't quite make it, lowering her head instead. She was too smart to fall for his lie. Her eyes moistened. I had to come, Carl.
Gross.
Davy had remarked that the ground was not as hard as it had looked, and in the place where he set them to work, that was definitely true. In fact, the earth appeared to have been recently uncovered and then replaced. Besides being soft, it was uneven. They set aside their tools after a couple of minutes and just used their hands. The soil had a grainy texture to it and was somewhat sticky.
Ew.
It was not long before they had built up respectable piles to either side of the point of the slab. Each pile had its own top hat.
Wow, it's we like are living in a nightmare, but I am really proud of this pile.
You know what? Your pile's pretty good, too.
Thank you.
4 feet down.
I don't like it, but I respect it.
4 feet down, Tracy's hand struck an object. A note of surprise passed her lips, and Davy immediately scurried over. Ceci stood and followed at a more leisurely pace, the dog at her heels. By this time, Paula was sitting up and breathing normally, although it was clear her finger needed medical attention. Davy waved Paula and Rick over with the barrel of the rifle. They approached reluctantly, as if they were held at gunpoint, and as a group they gathered around the hole.
Do any of you know what's buried here?
Sorry. Davy asked.
I guess it's apparent. It's apparent based on the
really
voice.
Fast.
No, that was really good, though. It's like we don't really need it when we hear that recognizable voice. That's Davy.
Yeah.
That's Davy all over, baby. If we guess correctly, Rick asked, do we still get a free trip to Hawaii? You'll get something far more valuable than that, Davy said.
What?
Rick asked. Rick asked. I'm discovering tongue twisters everywhere today. Don't spike your coffee at 10 a.m. on a Sunday.
Nonsense.
What? Rick asked.
Your freedom, Davy said.
You'll let us go? Tracy
asked.
See,
we could do with a lot less asked and saids.
Yes.
Here.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's see how far we can go. Let's just see. Everyone close your eyes.
It's two different people talking.
Everyone, yeah.
Let me take you there. Let me take you there.
Paint us a word poem.
Yeah.
What? Oh, no, sorry. Who?
No, already.
It was already shattered. You know, but sometimes an artist takes a second. You've heard that saying, right? Sometimes an artist takes a second.
as Pablo Picasso said.
Okay, everybody, you remember the scene.
Okay.
Any listeners, I encourage you to close your eyes, whatever you're doing. I don't care where.
Driving.
Whatever. Walking, driving, on the treadmill, gardening.
What?
Your freedom.
You'll let us go?
I promise.
I don't believe you.
You should.
Why should we?
You don't have any choice.
Ceci moved to Tracy's side.
That was great. I knew exactly who everyone was.
Could I make like a moving sound that sounds like Ceci? Oh, yeah. She's got a dog.
Go past the microphone.
Or something.
For one
second. I don't
know. Ceci. She was wearing corduroys.
Yeah, that's true. That should be written in. Ceci had changed since entering the chamber. She was more serious. And there was a vibe about her that Carl could only describe as powerful.
Really?
You guess? Ceci said to Tracy. Tracy hesitated. A body.
Close. But you must be more specific. I'll give you one more chance.
Tracy glanced at Paula, perspiration breaking out on her forehead. You're just playing with us, she said to Davy.
You won't know for sure unless you try.
You'll let us all go?
I might.
You have to swear it.
I swear it.
Tracy glanced up at the black dome, back down at the black hole in the ground. Joe's body, she whispered.
Close.
You sound like Yoda.
He's become Yoda in that one really creepy moment where he says,
You will be.
Like Jesus, Yoda.
Jesus, Yoda. Oh my God. Am I right? Tracy demanded. Davy smiled.
There's much more to it than that. And one might say, also say, much less.
Now I want to hear him be like, much more to it than that there is. But there's no logic.
I know. Well, yeah, he's speaking in riddles like Yoda.
Right.
God damn. Oh, shit. Okay. Are you two Daniel and Claire Stevens? Tracy asked, finally getting there.
I see you've been doing your homework, Davy said.
Who? Carl asked. Two of the people who supposedly were there, but then who supposedly were there. Where? But they died in this gold mine 100 years ago. I thought there were four people, Carl asked, trying to recall the details of the story. Only two died. Tracy gestured to Ceci and Davy. These two survived. Davy did not respond to the comment, but strolled to the base of the slab, laying the rifle aside behind... Oh boy, John, you aren't kidding about this book and its tongue twisters.
There's secret tongue twisters. How did he know? How did Pike know? How did he know?
Laying the rifle aside beside the arched doorway.
That's just his bad writing.
I know. Wait, laying the rifle beside the arched doorway. Okay, it doesn't matter.
Laying the rifle aside beside the arched doorway. He twisted his neck around the curve.
He twisted his neck around the curve of the stone wall, and his head disappeared. It did not simply become difficult to see in the blackness beyond. It became a part of the blackness.
Ooh.
What? But then he pulled back, and his head was where it had always been. The act appeared to have invigorated him. He strode toward them again, leaving the rifle behind.
You were asking?
He said. Davy. Davy. Ceci said.
Let me talk!
He snapped.
You've talked all day!
Seti shrugged, falling silent. Has she talked all day? She hasn't talked as nearly as much as Davy has.
Yeah.
Tracy took a step forward. Was I right? She insisted. Are you going to let us go? Davy waved his hand.
Those are such boring questions. Are there no others? Are you not entertained?
Yes, Rick spoke up, wheeling his chair closer to the slab. Also, what slab? Did I miss something?
I don't. There's just a triangular slab.
Okay.
A slab.
Yeah.
It's your standard like slab.
General slab. Yeah,
you've been
underground. Probably like
you've
center of a chamber, I'm guessing, you know? Like, it might have a brazier on top of it, as we were discussing off mic in a prior hangout.
I don't remember that.
Didn't we talk about that?
Yeah.
The difference between
on a slab?
Braziers and
brazier.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, brazier. I was like,
yes.
Bra?
That's the exact conversation we had.
Oh my God.
Tracy gave him a look of pure exasperation, but didn't stop him. The horror of the chamber had not dimmed his curiosity. Tell us about this place and the people who built it, he asked again. They were very old, Davy said, and they were not people you know as people.
Ah, you've got a monologue.
They were of a higher order.
Oh, shit.
How old, Rick asked. Hundreds of millions of years. That's impossible, Rick began. Man has only been on this planet. Man, Davy interrupted loudly. Man is nothing. Aw, this is wasted on me, because I'm not going to yell it. Because I have a headache. Man is nothing. Man is a soft-skinned freak. He will have his day, and then he will be gone. We've ruled this planet for millions of years, and we will rule it again. Are they fucking dinosaurs? Oh my God,
oh
I think they're fucking dinosaurs.
Oh my fucking God, if they're dinosaurs. And Chris was right.
I think that's happening. His words echoed throughout the chamber.
Does that mean he gets like a little crown to wear for the next few episodes until someone else is right about something?
We should get a crown for whoever's theory was actually
this is the
right.
Reward.
I don't think anyone's been right yet.
That one's been right. We're always
this
wrong.
Might be the first time.
The glasses are the reward for guessing.
Perfect.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
But you haven't. We don't know that you're right yet.
That's true. Take him off.
Yeah, take him off,
Chris. This is dangerous.
Come on, Chris. Take this seriously.
Yeah. We can't break all the rules on this show.
All the rules that we make up as we go.
His words echoed throughout the chamber, resonating with the walls. Carl noticed then that there was a pattern to the arrangement of the many crystals. He wondered if they didn't form a written language of some kind. A metal grave for terrible lizards, Rick muttered. He shook his head. It's not possible. John, that was one of the clues, was a metal grave for terrible lizards.
Okay.
It's your history, Davy said. It's your future. What is it? Tracy asked. I'm so upset. Rick looked at her. The dinosaurs ruled the earth for millions of years, he said. He's implying that an intelligent reptilian race evolved out of them and went on to form a civilization. Is that correct, Davy? Davy nodded, watching his sister, who was watching him. Chris has the glasses on.
I know, it's like he may as well just put them on, right? Like, I can just go ahead and concede. If someone was taking the opposing view, it's like, he's got enough votes to win at this point.
Hashtag Chris was right.
Does that mean Chris is about to, like, lay down some new rules? Like, he's about to be the...
Now he's the chairman of the podcast.
Like, what kind of ruler are you going to be, Chris?
My new title is Bookmaster.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
From now on, we only read novelizations of Doctor Who episodes.
Oh, fuck. Oh, no.
Oh, no. God. Well, we had a good run.
Has it?
Go ahead. Make your joke. Give me a break, Paula muttered. Carl could hardly believe her nerve. She pulled out a cigarette and went to light it with her uninjured hand until Ceci raised a hand and caught Paula's eye. In much the way Davy had caught Tom's before he had sent him away on his errand.
What
a sentence.
Paula quickly put away her lighter. How far advanced were they? Rick asked. Did they have computers? Could they travel in space?
I don't even know how to sum this up.
They're dinosaurs. They're dinosaurs.
Davy chuckled.
They had more important things to do with their time. The secrets they unlocked make your science seem like child's play.
How do you know this? Tracy asked.
I know,
Davy said. what were the secrets? Rick asked. Davy stared down at the hole they had dug.
The secrets of cause and effect, he said, his tone softening, changing, taking on a faint hissing sound. Of life and death. They learned how to balance the scales in their favor, to break the scales even, and turn them around.
He pointed to the ground. They're doing everything with those scales.
Finish.
They're balancing our
dinosaur scales.
First, they balance the scales in their favor. It's like, hey, cool, they worked with the system. Now they're breaking the scales and then turning them around.
And then turning them.
Like, hey, yeah. Wait, you just balanced
them. Just like what
those.
My dog would do with scales. He didn't even mean to balance them. He just accidentally did that first. The rest is just, you know, chaos.
No, Tracy said. You told us you would let us go if I guessed correctly. Did I say that?
Did I say that?
You know damn well you did.
Who, me?
Tracy said. Davy smiled. And you know damn well what a liar I am. Ha ha. He gestured to the ground once more, this time indicating Carl should dig alone. You should probably be the one to finish this dig.
Carl got back down on his knees, searching for the spot that had caused Tracy to stop, having the awful thought that what he was feeling for might be waiting to bite his fingers off. Yet when he first touched it, the thing seemed innocent enough.
You're probably fine.
He brushed aside another layer of the earth. Oh my gosh, this next sentence.
It was only a pair of sunglasses.
Were they flashing bright?
Were they
pink?
Flashing neon sunglasses?
Yeah.
Of the sort worn by a podcast king? His relief lasted a grand total of 2 seconds. Someone was wearing the glasses. Davy laughed aloud as Carl let out a cry and jerked his hand back and leapt to his feet. Stepping into the hole, Davy used the tip of his boot to expose the face of the unfortunate soul. After all they had witnessed, it shouldn't have been a shock, and yet the sight of the corpse almost caused Carl to faint. It was Mr. Partridge.
Bum, bum, bum.
So Davy has a hissing voice now, and he's got the voice he had before. I think it's a perfect time to say, yes, he sounds like Yoda.
I told him to bury himself at least half a dozen feet under,
Davy said and sighed.
So hard to find these days, good help is.
What? What's he doing here? Rick asked, stuttering.
The grand prize he is, Davy said. Paula, dear, weren't you in one of Mr. Partridge's classes?
Yes, and he reminded me of you, Paula said. He bored me to tears.
Classic Paula.
I love Paula.
Yeah.
To tears,
Davy asked, holding her gaze a moment. Paula tried to meet it, but ended up looking down. Davy went on.
He might have been a bit dull at times, but you see, he was only a puppet.
Like Yoda, right?
Being senior class president and having so many other responsibilities, I couldn't always keep his strings uncrossed.
What's that mean? Carl asked.
He was my alter ego.
What?
You ran the club?
Naturally.
Is he dead?
Sure.
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 That's sure. Never the answer to is he dead or is she dead?
Sure.
Or are
sure.
They dead?
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Oh, sure.
Dead is whatever you want it to mean.
Yeah. Was he ever alive?
A more profound question with no easy answer.
Davy replied,
thank
leaning
you.
Over. You're welcome.
But we could say that a piece of him must have been alive at one time. Look at this.
Davy removed Mr. Partridge's sunglasses. Empty sockets stared out from behind them. Tracy
no.
grimaced. What happened to his eyes?
Oh! He hasn't had any eyes for a year now.
Davy said, putting the glasses.
That does sound like some shit Yoda would
on
say.
On himself, yeah.
This is like crazy Yoda when he's
yes.
trying to fool Luke, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Mine.
He waited for them to respond.
It was a year ago today. when the clouds above were dark and heavy, and the stars above them had come into a favorable aspect. I told you.
Oh, there's so much of this.
Tracy.
No one will be mad if you stop doing the voice.
You were, hang on a second.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm back to this now. It's easier for me to do.
Is that easier?
It's easier.
It's easier for everyone. But especially your wife.
Tracy, you were close. But as they say, close only counts in horseshoes and grenades.
Horseshoes and grenades.
I know, isn't it hand grenades? Isn't it
not hand grenades?
Yeah.
All grenades!
He's taken away the alliteration.
Don't forget about foot grenades!
Yeah. Or face grenades.
I was just thinking, aren't all grenades hand grenades?
Yeah.
I guess if you have a grenade launcher that's coming out of a launcher.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
You can have a kick grenade.
Where am I?
horseshoes
and grenades. Horseshoes and grenades.
Oh my god, I am losing my mind. Don't any of you understand?
No.
Davy sighed and crouched down beside the figure.
Perhaps this will help. Let me show you something.
No,
Paula said, ready to be sick.
But I insist.
Davy tugged on the pale, flaccid flesh of Mr. Partridge's left cheek.
Oh, phew.
You've all been dying to know what's going on. It wouldn't be fair for me to keep you in suspense forever.
Carl's stomach heaved as Davy began to rip Mr. Partridge's facial skin off. Davy did it effortlessly, in handfuls. Gross! And yet, when he was through, there was no blood. No. There was only a pile of imitation flesh, and a special effects man might have had
A special effects man?
There was only a pile of imitation flesh a special effects man might have had in his supplies.
You're a writer, for Christ's sake. A special effects man.
A special effects man.
You know, like, maybe if you're reaching for the comparison, make sure the comparison has got, like, some really solid, like, noun choices, you know?
You just, like, kick the door into to the prop shop, and you're like, hey, what's up? I'm the special effects man.
Hey, it's me.
It feels like placeholder text to be like, okay, look up what this job
position is
called later.
I'll go back and change it later.
Yeah.
I won't. It's fine.
There was only a pile of imitation flesh that a special effects man might have had in his supplies, and a hollow white skull that could have sat unprotected in the desert sand for over a year beneath a boiling sun. It could have sat. Did it? You will recognize the teeth, Paula. Davy said, standing back. The bottom row is crooked. I suppose he didn't have the money for braces. I think John died. I don't know what happened to him.
Where'd he go? I am dead.
Mr. Barkin,
you might recognize these teeth.
Is it Joe's skull?
A shame, don't you think? He would have been a more handsome sight with a little dental work. Not that you cared. You must have kissed this mouth 100 times and enjoyed every minute of it.
Good God!
Oh my God. Paula could not speak. She could not move. Nor could Carl. He recognized the teeth. He was also
kissing
that mouth.
He had kissed the flip more than
Paula. Only Tracy had the will left to say it. This is Joe's skeleton, she whispered. Davy clapped his hands together. I definitely must send to Hawaii. Yes, this is Joe. John, you just missed the reveal that this skeleton is Joe's skeleton. He's the one who made the scavenger hunt possible. Too bad we don't have Tom here to tell you all about it. The plan was for
Tom.
I don't fucking... So the skeleton was Mr. Partridge and Joe?
Mr. Partridge was Joe's skeleton in special effects makeup.
Okay.
I just want to say that the sentence that killed me,
mm-hmm.
I read ahead right before Jonathan said, you will recognize the teeth, Paula. I don't know why that sentence destroyed me.
You just had to go...
I had to go cough my guts out and take about 19 breaths.
Oh, God.
Oh, I'm back.
Oh, my God.
Now. I'm here with okay. you all now.
I don't understand any of this.
I hope that when I came back, I didn't bring something with me, though.
We are all haunted for having read this.
Oh, no, seriously. We're the ones, we all died together, and we don't even know it.
Yeah. This is the Christmas
We're
Pike
all
book.
Joe. We're all Joe Skeleton.
Yeah.
I knew it.
The plan was for you to dig up Joe and then have Tom put on his sunglasses. The gesture would have been so symbolic. It's a shame I had to send him away.
What?
I don't know. Davy took off the glasses and gave them a brief inspection. You must recognize these, Carl. They belong to Joe, he heard himself say.
Kid Midas's?
All the clothes. I know. So many sunglass-related books.
In the desert.
Yeah. All the clothes they had found, all the clothes Tom was now wearing had been Joe's. Okay, Carl is just now catching up
to
this.
Yeah, okay, we figured that out.
Except for the gold chain. Joe had given that to Paula the night before they had gone into the desert. Davy nodded. The flood washed him down here. I know Master Richard. Why is he calling him that now? We'll
know.
Say that's
he's
impossible.
It's, that's just how dinosaurs speak.
Okay. But after all, he's not as smart as he thinks or he wouldn't be here. In this place, anything goes. It wouldn't be incorrect to say this place sent the flood to fetch Joe. We have a habit of getting whatever we need. I don't know.
What?
I don't know. We, Tracy said, the terrible lizards, Davy said, and gestured to the skeleton. This guy washed down here and through this door and lost his skin as well as his clothes. Ew.
I love gesturing to a skeleton and being like, this guy.
This guy's skin fell off when he washed into our cave.
But in doing so, he gave us a chance to come back out and play. We made a deal with him. A deal I might say we have so far honored to the letter. We were the ones who put his bones back outside so that he could be found and have a decent funeral. I must confess, though, that we had a selfish motive. We didn't want people continuing to search this area. They might have found our special door before we were ready for them. But we buried Joe. No, Davy said. You buried the cemetery's fat security guard.
What?
Sissy and I stopped by the night before the funeral and collected Joe. What? Even back then, we were thinking of having a scavenger hunt, and we wanted to have a special, one-of-a-kind item for the last stop on the list. Davy nodded. You should have been there. The guard caught us in the act. We had a time putting him in Joe's coffin, seeing as how he was so obese. He put up a wonderful fight. He thought we were going to kill him when all we did was gag and bind him. Davy shook his head. It's amazing the pallbearers didn't notice the extra weight.
What did you mean when you said you've come back out to play? Rick asked.
Shut up, Rick.
No, he's
Davy studied
he's
Paula
like
and
stalling.
Tracy.
He's getting him to monologue.
Davy studied Paula and Tracy. The girls know what...
No one's coming to help them.
Well, yeah. He's just trying to put off the inevitable.
The girls know what I mean, he said. Carl knows, too, although he's too ashamed to admit his role in this whole affair. I have nothing to do with this, Carl said bitterly. I've heard differently, Davy said. But who was Mr. Partridge, Tracy asked. I told you, Davy said. He was a puppet, a pile of skin and bones who responded to my will. I made him.
But I wouldn't worry about him. You have other things to worry about.
How are you connected with the ancient race? Rick asked. I didn't need to say Rick asked. That's what we've learned.
I'm one of them.
You're millions of years old? I'm doubtful, by the way. You might not have gotten that.
I'm immortal!
But obviously the same couldn't be said for the rest of your race. Rick said, probably not intending to taunt him, but doing so nevertheless. Davy showed definite signs of undergoing another one of his volatile mood swings, but Rick continued on, unaware.
Oh, Rick.
The dinosaurs disappeared overnight. Certain dinosaurs have even been fossilized in mid-stride. Some scientists have totally theorized that the Earth may have definitely been hit with a huge meteorite that instantly changed the climate. If you're from a race that was alive at that time, you just may have some idea what happened. Davy's emotional explosion was averted by Ceci. Taking a step in front of Rick, she turned her back on her brother, blocking Rick from Davy's line of vision. It wasn't a meteorite, she said. It was nothing a human being could understand.
What? Was there a war? Can you try, though, to explain it a little bit?
Yeah, we could try.
No. I can't, Becca.
All right, busy. Jesse, damn.
I'm busy in this book, Becca. It was nothing a human being could understand, not even Becca.
God, it's so rude that Christopher Pike wrote that.
The busybody of this podcast.
Oh my God. So
was there pointed. A war? Rick asked. Ceci hesitated. Not exactly. Davy stepped down from the slab and stood near Rick's chair. He had not appreciated the interruption.
I'm getting tired of these fool questions, he said. A demonstration is what we need for you turkeys.
Ceci regarded him impatiently. Tom isn't here.
Our debts should be satisfied first, Davy said. Our time runs short.
That wasn't in our plan.
I'm changing the plan.
Is that why these others are here?
Yes.
You've talked too much, Ceci said. You've wasted the purpose of the scavenger hunt. You've lost your tension.
Tension?
Davy asked, surprised. How could that be lost? You fool, Ceci said. Davy backed off a step, his stare fixed hard upon her face. Then he moved. Carl's eyes couldn't follow exactly how he did it, but they caught enough to know what he did. He grabbed Ceci's dog and flung it toward the arched doorway. Ceci reacted almost as quickly, but she was a step behind. The animal's tail slipped through her fingers. It went beyond her reach, beyond the door, and was gone. He just flung a dog into the darkness.
Damn.
That's so sad.
Ceci closed her eyes and rested her head against the stone wall.
Did the dog have a name?
Clenched. No.
I can't remember if she named it.
A random... Oh, yeah. Did she name it?
I don't remember. Random desert dog.
She literally found this dog in the desert, like, last, you know, in, like, 2 chapters ago.
Oh, okay.
It hasn't been here the whole book. Yeah. Yeah, fuck that dog. The screams began. Carl had heard many wounded animals in his day. And why? And had always been deeply affected. Yet nothing had prepared him for the sounds Ceci's dog made as it died. Beside the pitiful yelps, he heard wild splashing noises and a faint, though distinct, sizzling sound, as if the animal had landed in a reservoir of highly corrosive acid. And, he knew, one of them was going to be next. The yelps finally ceased, but the silence that followed brought no relief. This dude chucked a dog into acid.
Jesus. Is it Judge Doom?
You were saying something about tension, Davy said to his sister. Ceci slowly lifted her head off the wall and opened her eyes, staring at her brother. Carl hoped to see anger, sorrow at least, and was disappointed on both counts. Ceci looked cool as ever. This is your place, she told her brother. That's right, Davy said. Cheer up. You'll get another pet out of it, one more to your liking. I prefer to choose my own pets, Ceci said. Do you have a choice in who you kiss? Paula asked her. Carl did not understand the reference, although Davy seemed to. He strode toward Paula and stood hovering over her. I don't like you, Davy said. Paula began to snap at him, then glanced at the black doorway and lowered her head.
She's like,
that's all right. Yeah, just... That's all right, she muttered. What? Davy asked. I said that's all right.
Damn.
For whom? Paula raised her head and swallowed. For both of us. What about for your brother? Davy asked. Paula didn't say anything. Davy smiled. Untie his shoelaces. Huh? I said untie his shoelaces. Why? I can untie them myself.
She's so confused all of a sudden.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Huh? Why?
What?
What day is it?
My finger's so broken. I can untie them myself, Rick said, bending over. Davy stopped him with a hand on his shoulder. No, I want your sister to do it. I want her to remove your shoelaces and bind your ankles to your chair.
Damn.
What?
Then I'm going to dip these shoes in acid. Like I know. Judge Doom.
Yeah.
Paula shook her head faintly. No. Davy, Tracy said, a tear falling over her cheek. Don't.
Now.
Davy told Paula. Carl,
Tracy moaned. Do something.
He has already done his part, Davy said. That's why you're all here.
His hand shot out and grabbed Paula by the hair and pushed her down by Rick's feet.
I have no patience for those I don't like, he snapped. I won't hesitate to throw you in the water.
Paula began to undo the laces. With her broken finger and shaking hands, it took forever, and when it came to binding Rick's ankles to the chair, she simply couldn't or wouldn't do it. Rick ended up having to help her. Davy let him. Enough appeared to be going as Davy wished. He wasn't going to quibble with every point. Rick had to be the bravest kid alive. Rick had to know he was tying the noose on the rope that was going to hang him. Carl prayed to God for an end to the madness. He has already done his part. But God didn't answer. Perhaps he could not hear the prayers cried to him from a place as forsaken as this. Carl did not understand.
Yeah, we all know that God doesn't hear cave prayers.
Yeah.
You have to be above ground.
Yeah, he doesn't get service down there.
Yeah.
Carl did not understand how Davy could blame him for his friend's predicament. Tracy stepped to Davy's side, her hands out in a gesture of pleading.
You can't push him through that door. I can, Davy said, and I will.
No, please, Davy, anything but that. Davy smiled.
You say please to a monster? You can do better than that, Tracy.
What?
She paused, lowering her hands, seeing that begging only made him worse. What do you want?
To balance the scales.
Oh my God.
What does that mean?
To stay alive,
he said, nodding to the doorway.
We need to sacrifice.
To come back from the dead?
To come back and play, Davy said.
What?
He pointed to a dark corner of the chamber. Something moved near the wall, something low and long, like the lizard Davy had crushed at the Purple House. A new pet for Ceci. Carl thought it interesting how it had appeared immediately after the dog left the scene. Ceci continued to watch the proceedings.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Oh, it's so weird. There's a lizard now and that dog died.
I had no idea there was more than one animal.
Oh. Curious.
Curious. He jots it down. Takes out his microcassette recorder. There's two of them. A new pet for Ceci, and it's a great replacement for a dog, too, is a lizard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Carl, no offense to people that love lizards. There's some great lizards out there, I'm sure. Carl thought it was interesting how it had appeared immediately after the dog left the scene. Left the scene is a great euphemism for what happened to that dog.
You know when that dog was dissolved? He really left the scene.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, my God. We all know what that means. Ceci continued to watch the proceedings with complete indifference, like a true sociopath.
God.
What does the sacrifice do, Tracy asked, besides balance the scales?
It puts the lotion in the basket. It creates a tension that strains the fabric between this world and another.
Again, what? Davy indicated the doorway.
Here, the fabric is already very thin. It is a special place. It is my place.
Then you are from the past.
He Davy already shrugged. Said that.
Oh my God, yeah.
That has nothing to do with what he just said, and he already said it.
Yeah, that is not clarifying anything.
Also, we're all from the past. Davy shrugged.
You mentioned the dead. They don't keep time. You can think of it any way you wish.
He paused again.
Our tension diminishes. Are you snug and secure in your seat, Rick?
I really think we could talk this over.
Can you swim?
No.
Not in acid.
Well, it's never too late to learn,
Davy said, taking a step toward him. Paula leapt up and blocked the path. Tracy touched Davy's arm. Tracy touched Davy's arm. I have an offer for you.
Davy was interested.
Yes?
Does it matter who you use to balance the scales? Davy glanced at Carl.
It can.
But does it matter in this case? Tracy asked. Davy patted Rick fondly on the top of his head, condescendingly.
This young man has already pre-qualified himself with his many unkind remarks towards me.
I was only kidding, Rick said. Paula stepped back and wrapped her arms over his shoulders, beginning to cry. Use me, Tracy said. Davy considered.
An interesting offer. Do you have any conditions?
Yes, Tracy said. You have to let the others go.
I have to give you my word?
Davy asked. Yes.
Didn't we go through this a few minutes ago?
Davy asked, and also us, because this is it was just fucking happened. If I can give you what you need, Tracy said, you should have no reason not to let the others go.
That's logical, Davy said. You're a brave girl. I'll make you a counteroffer. A spare Rick if you'll choose another for me.
What?
Choose between Paula and Carl. You have 20 seconds to decide. Oh, choose! But you now have 18 seconds!
Tracy stopped dumb. Tracy stopped dumb.
What's that mean?
Tracy stopped dumb. Carl wanted to help her. He wanted to tell her to choose him. But he couldn't get the screams of the dog out of his head. And he's like, fuck, I don't want to. No, I don't, yeah. I don't want. Yeah. I like how he's like, no.
I volunteered.
On second thought?
Yeah.
I don't like. Yeah, you can kill Paula.
Actually, I don't want to die.
He was a coward. It says in the book, he was a coward. Could that be what Davy had been referring to a minute ago?
What? When? What?
I don't know. I think he called him a coward. I have lost track of everything.
When the flood of water had come down upon them in the gully, Joe had called to him for help, and he had tried to help him after thinking about it for a few seconds. He had almost forgotten about that. The delay, the hesitation. The creature near the far wall slithered in the black earth. I'll go in place of my brother, Paula said. No, Rick said. This guy's a lizard. He'll keep his word. He is a literal lizard.
No, this guy's a lizard.
This guy's a lizard. You can't trust him. 12 seconds, Davy said. I said I'll be your sacrifice, Paula said. But I said Tracy is to decide, Davy said. I can't, Tracy whispered. Carl... You want me to use Carl? Davy asked. No. Paula then? No. I told you I'd go. You have 5 seconds, Davy said. The 5 seconds went by. It didn't take long. Approximately 5 seconds.
I was saying, no shit.
Davy shook his head sadly and put a hand on the back of Rick's wheelchair. Paula tried to stop him, but he pushed her gently away. Gently for him. Paula ended up on her butt on the black ground to the right of the slab. Davy did not want to knock her out. Davy wanted her to watch. Jesus, he needed his tension, for whatever the fuck that means. Paula scampered to her feet, but was stopped this time by Tracy, who must have decided it was hopeless to resist. Davy nodded his approval. Would all human beings step down from the altar, he said. Carl, if you would, please. Carl stood slightly forward and to the left of the doorway.
The rifle
sure
is where
it's
Davy...
important to know. Specifically Tom... exactly where he's standing.
Yeah. Huh? What did Tom go to get? I forgot.
Something
materials.
From the truck, they didn't say.
Oh, materials, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if they
well,
said what
it
was.
He was hypnotized to go out there. I don't fucking know why, but Davy just didn't want him in there anymore. So he's probably just standing out there.
Okay.
The rifle was where Davy had left it, leaning against the wall to the right of the doorway. Carl figured his chances of reaching it in time to get off a shot at Davy's head were close to zero, but he was through hesitating. He leapt for the rifle. Then he was flying through the air, but not in the direction of the rifle. Davy had struck him again, hard on the side. He was flying toward the black doorway. He missed it by a foot, hitting the upper left side of the archway and fell toward the floor. Yet, even as he fell, he retained a large portion of his forward momentum. Landing, he skidded over the end of the gray slab and almost off the edge of the world. An instinct in his left hand saved him. When he came to his senses, he was hanging over the side of the precipice, his feet dangling below into a place where they could not be found, the three middle fingers of his left hand all that lay between him and a bath that would ruin his smooth 18-year-old complexion for good. Ceci and Davy stepped to the edge of the doorway and peered down at him, looking more than 10 feet tall. They spoke. He saw their mouths move, but he could not hear them. Carl knew he should swing his right hand up and tighten his hold on the lower corner of the doorway, but was unable to communicate the message to his muscles. The fumes were overpowering. His brain was not working correctly, and it wasn't just because he was terrified. Something in the smell was finally getting to him. He was in a black void. His eyes could see that, which translated to mean they couldn't see anything.
What?
Oh my god, that was...
His eyes could see... Nothing.
I thought you made that up, but that's just how it's written.
It's like he said it and then had to translate it immediately. You would think, you would say, well, why not just put the translation
just write
in?
Write it better? Yeah.
You would think.
He couldn't see anything is really what he wanted to say. He could see that, which means he couldn't see anything.
He could see that, but you know what I mean.
Right. But by that, I mean, of course, he couldn't see anything. But behind his eyes, in his head, in that deep portion of the brain that scientists sometimes called the reptilian mind, because evolution had developed it first, millions of years before mammals were even a dream in the genetic code of a mutated DNA, he saw a different reality. He saw the past, or the future, or maybe death itself. He saw the other side, where Ceci and Davy had come from. His vision expanded, became unlocalized. Suddenly, he could see a multitude of directions at once. He realized there were many chambers beyond the doorway, each as large as an entire world. Each lay one upon the other, and he understood what Davy had meant when he said there were many hells in the universe. Each world was a horror. But before he could look closer, the vision collapsed. Carl's grip slipped a notch. He was back on the wrong side of the doorway. Davy was raising his boot. Ceci was shaking her head. Then Davy made a soundless laugh. And Ceci knelt down. And Carl felt a grip 10 times greater than his own take hold of his arm. Then he was standing on his feet in the center of the slab.
There aren't any bullets in the gun, Carl,
Davy said. Carl collapsed. Soft arms circled him. Tracy was pulling him off the slab with her soft, soft arms. He was alive. He had come within inches of death and survived. Yet nothing had changed.
The evil gods still demanded their sacrifice. Davy lifted Rick and his wheelchair onto the slab, both of Rick's legs tied securely to his footrest. Carl struggled to his feet. Ceci, he said, you can stop him. Davy looked to his sister. Ceci ignored both of them. She was studying Rick. I have never met another like you, she said. I'm a one-of-a-kind item, baby, Rick said bravely. Ceci glanced at Paula. She was not watching. She stood with her head bowed and her eyes tightly clenched. She was breathing strangely, and she wasn't crying. She might have been going into shock. Nothing changes.
Only I know this secret, Davy told her.
What? Ceci turned her dark eyes on him. It would not have been correct to say their features were identical, not as far as some male/female twins went. Ceci's eyes were bigger, rounder, yet they possessed, Carl saw finally, no more warmth than Davy's. As she regarded her brother, Carl glimpsed something truly terrible in them. Do what you will. No, Carl cried. They paid him no heed. The sacrifice would not be stopped. Tracy hugged Carl's side, and he wrapped an arm around her. He had never held Tracy before. He wished to God he had accepted her invitation to be a part of her team. Davy spoke to Rick.
Say your farewells.
Rick turned their way. His cheeks were damp, but his voice came out even. It's not so bad, guys, really. I was going to die anyway. It was an exciting day. I think it was the best day of my life.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, Rick. He paused. I love you all. He glanced at his sister, who could not bear to look, to even hear. And so she can't hear? She just turned her ears off.
Yeah. She couldn't bear to look.
I can't look and or hear.
I can't hear. I can't smell. I don't want to touch you. I don't want to taste you right now, Rick.
Ew. And whispered, love you, Paula. Bye.
Oh my God.
Rick turned away so they could not see his face. His wheelchair pointed in the direction of the arched doorway. Davy to his right, Ceci to his left. The chamber fell silent. Davy stretched out a hand and placed it on top of Rick's head. He began to whisper quietly, rapidly, his voice imitating the hiss of a snake or the hiss of a dinosaur. Yet possibly because of his brief vision of the other side, Carl got the gist of what was being said. It was an invocation, Davy was calling upon unnatural forces, but he wasn't trying to balance the scales. He was trying to cheat them. Rick became completely still. Carl prayed that he was slipping into a trance where he wouldn't feel anything when he hit the searing water. It seemed a futile prayer. Davy's magic obviously relied upon pain.
Tension.
Tension, yeah. Yet this time, someone may have heard Carl's prayer. Ceci stood idle during the proceedings, apparently uninterested in whether Rick died or if Davy succeeded in lengthening his weekend pass in the land of the living and warm-blooded.
Yikes.
But at the exact instant Davy had stopped chanting and placed his palm on Rick's back, Ceci looked up and stared Davy right in the eye. "Tom's returned," she said. "No," Davy said, distracted. Ceci leaned closer. "Tom's returned," she repeated.
"Tom, what are you doing?"
Davy glanced up at the entrance to the chamber, confused. He let go of Rick and took a step away from the doorway toward the tip of the slab.
"I don't see him," he said.
"See him," Ceci commanded, her eyes focused on the back of his head. Then, suddenly, she reached down and took Rick's head in her hands. Her mouth twisted in an odd line, and the sound that passed her lips was similar to a word Davy had repeated several times in his invocation, only at a much higher pitch. Then Ceci twisted Rick's head hard. She broke his neck, and Carl felt his own heart break with the sound of his young friend's bones.
Damn!
Ceci shoved Rick through the doorway. Davy whirled around. There followed a loud splash, but no screams, only blessed silence. At least he had not suffered. Tracy sagged against Carl's side, the strength leaving her limbs. Carl had to support her, quickly removing the flashlight from her hand, lest it drop and leave them in the dark with these two murderers. "It's done," Ceci told her brother.
"But I wanted to do it," Davy complained, jumping to the door and peering inside.
"You always get to murder people."
"I don't hear him."
"I do," Ceci said softly.
"What have you done?"
"What could I do?" Ceci asked. Davy fumed for a moment. Then he began to calm down. "I had completed the calling," he said finally, seeming to agree with her. It struck Carl then that Davy had not heard Ceci's brief chant, nor had he heard Rick's neck breaking. Could Ceci have momentarily hypnotized him?
"Yes.
It's good."
Davy continued.
I remain strong. We must continue.
With what? Ceci asked.
With Carl.
Tom hasn't returned, she replied, a faint note of sarcasm entering her voice. That's more than faint. She definitely had changed since coming into this place, even more so since Davy had killed her dog. The mysterious lizard continued to flop about the far corner. Davy, shifted indecisively on his altar, probably trying to decide if he wanted to fry or boil his next victim. Carl couldn't believe Rick was really gone. He liked doing that voice. Even the boy's body must already be in ruins. The acid would first eat away. It was best not to think about it. Why don't you do us all at once and get it over with? Tracy cried, straightening herself by Carl's side. Davy perked up at Tracy's outburst. He strode toward them, withdrawing a hunting knife from his back pocket.
"This is sharp," he said,
holding it up so that they could examine the blade. It was not the same type of knife they had found at the beginning of the scavenger hunt.
"You could skin a newlywed with a knife like this."
Oh my
God. What?
"I tell you that so you will be able."
It must have been one of the newspaper clippings of the murders, but without that context, it's insane.
That's just one of those things you say. I always say.
Average turn of phrase.
Everyone knows newlyweds are very hard to cut.
Well, you know that sometimes a knife store will let you go to the back and let you cut up a newlywed just to see if you like the knife.
Test the knife, yeah.
Yeah.
"You could skin a newlywed with a knife like this. I tell you that so that you will be better able to understand the demonstration I am about to perform."
"What kind of demonstration?" Carl asked.
"It concerns you, Carl," Davy said. "Did you know you're not your everyday high school senior?"
"What do you mean?"
"Do you have nightmares, Carl?"
"Sometimes."
"What are they about?"
"I don't remember," he lied.
"Do you remember your best friend, Joe?"
"Yes."
"Where did he die?"
"Near here."
How did he die? You know, you said it already.
He's going to ask him all five of the journalism questions. You know,
yeah.
Where, how, why, who, when.
Say it again for me, Carl. One more time. He drowned. In the desert? Yes. Did you try and save him before he drowned? Yes. You risked your life? Why do you want to know? Carl asked, beginning to feel more uneasy, if possible. I want to know how close you came to risking your life. I also want to know how late you were in taking the risk. Why? Because I think, and Tom agrees with me on this point, that you messed it up, Carl. You beefed it. I tried. Of course you tried, Davy said, switching the knife to his right hand. And as he did so, Carl's flashlight caught the blade at such an angle that Carl momentarily blinded himself with the reflection of his beam. Davy went on. Why did we need to know that happened?
To know that Carl's a dipshit.
Or to set up that someone's about to get blinded more strategically. God. I don't know.
But whereas Tom feels it was a matter of too little too late, I feel it was a question of too much too late. Too much too late. Oh my god.
I don't understand, Carl stuttered. Tracy, Davy said, how does Carl feel to you right now? Fine, she said. I don't know. Are you sure he doesn't feel a bit cold? He feels fine, Tracy said. Make your point and be done with it. We're not your pets.
Oh my god, seriously.
You might want to stand back from your beloved while I make it, Davy said. Stop it, Davy, Ceci said firmly, although apparently she was not going to be leaping to anyone's rescue. She continued to stand near the doorway as if she were guarding it. Davy glanced back at her. Shut up, he said.
Good one.
Millions of years old.
Yeah. Shut up.
Shut up. Ceci didn't respond. Davy turned back to them. Tracy hugged Carl tighter. We've done nothing to you, she said. What do you mean I did too much? Carl demanded. Davy smiled. You drowned too.
Wait, what?
No, Carl said, shaking. That's not possible. You washed down here, Davy said. We got a hand on you, but you slipped away. I'm sorry, Carl, but you're as dead as Joe. I don't understand that previous sentence. Carl stepped back, pushing Tracy aside. He did feel cold then. He felt as if a flood of ice water had poured over his body for one whole year and washed away everything he called his own, including his soul. Yet he had to protest. I don't believe you, he cried. You lie. True, Davy said, raising his knife. But this doesn't...
Davy plunged the knife deep into Carl's chest.
Oh my
Carl
god.
Carl tried to scream and couldn't. Davy pulled out the knife. It was covered with blood. But Carl felt no pain. The knife had not hurt him. Davy laughed joyfully.
Run, Carl. Try to get away from us again. See if we don't catch you. This is the part of the hunt we've all been waiting for.
Oh my
Carl
god.
Carl turned and ran.
Ba 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 ba.
Wait, what chapter?
12.
What a book.
Okay.
What the? They're fucking dinosaurs.
Called it.
You know what I think started to happen to you guys?
Yeah, what's up?
I think you're so used to me being here for the last part of the book. I think everybody started feeling like we were wrapping it up in that last scene. And then when you get to the end and you realize there's 40 more pages in this book.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's that part of the action movie that, you know, how action movies are all 2 hours and 20 minutes now.
Yes.
And there's always a point about an hour and 45 in where it could be the climax, but instead things just get worse and like some beloved character dies and then you reset your mental, like you go, oh, there's a whole nother section to this.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Like, and then, yeah, you check
different
your phone.
Different things have to happen now for it to end.
Yes, there's a whole nother section of story that has to take place. And you guys have to deal with the flashing lights of the podcast king.
Oh God, it's so distracting. Come one, come all, see the podcast king. He guessed right the dinosaur twist, and now he makes all the decisions for us.
Everybody should have a set of those that they can put on instantly if they're
I'm
proven
the
right
one.
About something. That seems to be the only standard, is that he got proven right about one thing.
Yeah.
after like five other theories.
Don't mess up.
Yeah.
Don't bring up your stats, man.
I guess I'll cross out Atlantis.
Yeah. Cross out Atlantis, cross out vampires.
Maybe Atlantis was populated by dinosaurs.
We did think vampires for a while.
We thought it was vampires for quite a while.
Never could have guessed.
I think that's because of the church framing device. That you just immediately think like that. Vampires are Highlanders.
You don't think they're vampasaurs?
I know I keep saying this, but it's cracking me up so much that when we read that first like two chapters with Clint and we're like delighted at what the book was at that point, he's just sitting there knowing that they're fucking dinosaurs. He just knows that they're dinosaurs because he read this whole goddamn book. It's insane. My God. Oh, my God.
It's kind of like a Davy-like thing. Like, he led you guys into a sort of trap of sorts.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a dinosaur.
What if he's a dinosaur?
We'll have to ask him.
Yeah.
Well, I know that the new science on dinosaurs is that they have, like, brightly colored feathers. So maybe check him for as much as you can.
Check for feathers.
I know on a Zoom call it's a little hard
It's difficult, yeah.
Yeah.
John, what did you think of this?
You know, it was fun.
words you had to say.
It was fun, but because the end of the story is not even in the part, I have absolutely no opinion of what I just read. All I know is that to me, the real meaning, what's the name of this book? The Scavenger Hunt?
Scavenger Hunt, yeah.
The real goal of the Scavenger Hunt are the friends that we made along the way.
Yeah,
or
the dogs you have
the people that you were already friends with that you podcasted with along the way. In which case, you guys are the meaning of the scavenger hunt for me.
Aww.
We're your Hawaii.
We're your Hawaii.
Yes,
you're my wet sock.
No.
No, thank you.
You're my
I gave you Hawaii.
Well, we will tell you how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you want to hear it or not, we're
going to tell you. I like the idea that you'll come to my house and like knock on the window. Hey, hey.
Yeah. Hey,
John.
Not only was it dinosaurs.
They were vampasaurs.
They were also vampires.
You were right.
You were right.
Throw the glasses.
I put on the glasses, yeah.
Yeah.
Or you put them on me in my sleep, and I wake up to that.
And just, like, whisper in your ear.
Just set off air horns.
You were right about the vampasaurs.
Kiss him on the forehead, and then set off
and
air horns.
And then leave. Okay.
That's a great... I was just reading a comic book where Lex Luthor has... I think he has Clark Kent there. He doesn't know it's Superman, you know? And he wants Clark Kent to report on what's going on, but he also wants Clark Kent to seem like a liar. And so he has a chimpanzee in a Superman outfit, like, come out of the floor and shake hands with him. And Lex Luthor's like, now if you report the truth, you'll sound like a fool.
So diabolical.
So, like, if I have to tell the cops, they left these sunglasses on my face in the night and they whispered, it turns out they were vampasaurs, then they're going to be like, really, Mr. Walker? You know.
Oh, my God. It's like that Community episode where they kidnap Troy, and he's like, why is there an astronaut making paninis? It's like, because no one will believe you. Holy shit.
Oh, boy.
Well, John, thank you for being our penultimate guest for Scavenger Hunt. What would you like to plug for anyone listening? What you got coming out or
I'm going to take a guess. Chris, how would you pronounce penultimate?
Penultimate?
Oh, you wouldn't say penultimate? I had $50 on penultimate.
I mean, if I was reading it in the book, I'd probably...
If you were reading it in an ostentatious voice, yes, penultimate.
Penultimate.
No, well, gosh, I'll rattle off some things. If you want to hear me talk about movies and TV shows that are relatively current and sometimes classic, you can listen to Movie Schmovie, which I co-host with my friends Ronald and Steve, and that's at movieschmovie.com, and I believe on YouTube if you look up Movie Schmovie, if you want the video version. Then also, there is a feed of podcasts that I make called FYIZ, just those four letters. Look for that wherever you get your podcasts. There's stuff on there with authors and musicians and sometimes comedy stuff. And there is a podcast that we started a while ago that I took away because I didn't like my hosting service. Yes, it's as boring as that. But the Ookiest Hour has been reposted. So people should be able to find the Ookiest Hour. There's a second episode and a third episode coming soon. And lastly, nice. I will say, well, not lastly, there's two more things. You can find my music at sci-fi.bandcamp.com. That's sighfigh.bandcamp.com. And then, yes, here's the true lastly. The Coen Brothers podcast that I started doing earlier in the year is back for a few episodes, and you can find that at COINTELPRO, a podcast about the Coen Brothers, and that is spelled COENTELPRO.
Nice. You can follow... What is this below grade level?
What has this book done to us?
Where are we?
I don't know. I truly feel out of space and time.
You're on the hunt. Follow...
I'm being hunted by dinosaurs. You can follow Below Grade Level on Instagram and TikTok, and you can follow Cactus Rodeo on Facebook, and you can subscribe to our podcast wherever you find podcasts, including YouTube. So thanks everyone for listening. Oh, Chris, what do you have to plug?
If you're a fan of me, John, and John's jokes and jibes, you can also seek out The Sketchy Show, where we improvise sketches and Jonathan edits them into magic.
I've heard, guys, the word out on the street is that people are liking the jokes and they're liking the jibes, but they are sick to death of the japes.
Oh, shit. Okay. We got to scale back the japes then, the japery. Yeah.
Less...
2025.
Yes, yeah, New Year's, I believe it would be fewer japes.
Fewer japes. Not no japes. We can't cut them out completely. No. Just scale it back.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks, John, for coming. We'll see you next time with whatever next horror we make you read. And tune in for the next episode where we finish reading Scavenger Hunt by Christopher Pike. I can't wait to find out what the hell happens. Thanks. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Below Grade Level is a Cactus Radio production. You can contact us at podcast@cactusrodeo.com. Subscribe and follow on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify, and follow Cactus Rodeo on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for more entertainment and updates.